Send peace, love, and joy to your loved ones this season with a minted photo holiday card designed by an independent artist. Use code PODCAST for 20% off your order.
Off the ball, rugby.
I was a halfback at high school purely because of my size. The only place they could put me in the team as we had at high school was as a halfback.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Welcome to Thursday's Football Daily. My name is Richie McCormack. On the way, Mikel Arteta bemoans refereeing decisions he feels cost his Arsenal side in a Champions League defeat to Inter. Aston Villa fall foul of a Tyrone Mings brain fart in Bruges. And Shamrock Rovers target a home win in the Conference League against TNS. First up today, Mikel Arteta remains confident his Arsenal side can win away to Chelsea in the Premier League on Sunday, despite dropping Champions League points in Italy for the second time this season. Hakan Çalhanoğlu scored the only goal from the penalty spot in first half stoppage time after Mikel Merino handled in the Arsenal area. Arsenal were also denied what Arteta viewed as a penalty when Merino was punched in the head by Inter keeper Jan Sommer as he attempted to clear the ball. Kai Havertz was also taken off, having been bloodied by a clash of heads. And after September's draw in Bergamo, last night's defeat leaves Arsenal 12th in the Champions League table, but Arteta feels they should have been given more by referee Istvan Kovac.
I don't understand. It's just a deflection. There is no danger at all. You cannot react because the ball is very close. But okay, they decide that it's a penalty. But then if that's a penalty, the one on Mikel Merino, when he punches in the head, it has to be 1,000% a penalty. And these are the margins in this game. And very, very difficult to accept.
Arsenal have scored just 3 times in their 4 Champions League outings this season, but Arteta believes they are creating enough chances.
The concern tonight is the result, and obviously that in both boxes, at the end we didn't do what we have to do. When we didn't, then someone else didn't. And that's it. But for sure, this is the way that I want to see my team. And all the big games that we have played in Europe, by far this was the best one that we played in the last few years.
The Arsenal boss doesn't think he has too big a job in his hands to pick his players up for Sunday's game at Chelsea.
If we play the way we play, we have a big chance to win against Chelsea. That's the way we have to go. I told them that I'm proud of them. I haven't seen them play in Europe in the manner that we have today. And we are very disappointed because we didn't get what we wanted out from the game, that's for sure.
Aston Villa lost their first game in the season's Champions League, but their third match in a row in all competitions. Much like Arsenal, it was a penalty that decided affairs in Belgium, with Hans Vaneken scoring for Club Brugge 7 minutes into the second half after Tyrone Mings picked up the ball in his own box. Goalkeeper Emi Martinez had rolled the ball out and played a short pass to Mings, who attempted to reset for a goal kick. Tobias Steeler, the referee, pointed to the spot, and Vaneken's spot kick ultimately settled the game. However, Villa defender Ezri Konsa believed the decision was harsh.
To be honest, I didn't see it. I just saw the players running to the ref saying handball, and you know, it's just one of those ones. I think it kills the game. It's 0-0. You know, I think if it is a handball deliberate, he's got to get a second yellow. He's on a yellow already, so I mean, why not send him off for that then? So, you know, I think it killed the game. You know, it's a mistake, but you know, it's not a mistake that we want to make, but look, it's happened now. Nothing we can do. We just got to move on from it.
Paris Saint-Germain still just have 1 win from their 4 games, despite taking the lead through Warren Zaïre-Emery at home to Atletico Madrid last night. Angel Correa scored in the 3rd minute of added time to hand the win to Diego Simeone's side. Brest's remarkable first season in Europe continues. They're 4th in the table and still unbeaten after last night's 2-1 victory away to Sparta Prague. Robert Lewandowski scored twice as Barcelona romped to a 5-2 win away to Red Star Belgrade. Bayern Munich recovered from their humbling at the hands of Barca a couple of weeks ago, with Jamal Musiala's second half strike enough for a 1-0 win at home to Benfica. Ademola Lookman's 8th goal of the season for Atalanta helped them to a 2-0 victory away to Stuttgart. Salzburg were 3-1 winners at Feyenoord to seal the first points in this season's competition for Pep Linders' side. And there's also a first win for Shakhtar Donetsk, who beat Young Boys 2-1. Where no Celtic, Paris Saint-Germain, I wear a full kit with a goldy-looking chain. I'm not the only one out there. There's others like me who wear a full kit just to watch the TV. Full kit, yeah, you know this. Wear it every day, wear it home. Welsh Giants, Goldie Looking Chain there, and their brand new single, Full Kit. And it's Welsh opposition tonight for Shamrock Rovers in the Conference League. Hoops boss Stephen Bradley has had to pick up his players after Friday's title-deciding night, which saw them concede domestic supremacy to Shelburne. Rovers are looking to put together back-to-back wins in the Conference League group phase following last month's success in Belfast against Larne, but Bradley told Rovers' in-house media team that tonight will not be easy.
Yeah, they're a good team. I think you can see that tomorrow quite clearly. They're a good team, a lot of good players, really clear identity in what they want to try and do and how they play. They're a dangerous team. We know that. We've seen that in all the games they played. They beat Astana 2-0 recently, and it could have been more. So we know we're against a good team, but we also know when we're at our best that we give ourselves a real chance of winning games.
Rovers will be without Danny Mandroyu, Sean Kavanagh and long-term absentee Rory Gaffney, while Sean Hoare requires a late fitness test for tonight's game in Tala. TNS have been among the goals recently, despite a 2-0 loss to Astana last time out in Europe. They scored 16 without reply against Llangollen in the Welsh Cup and have scored 10 in their last three Welsh Premier outings. Rovers defender Daniel Cleary says they've scouted TNS adequately.
Yeah, obviously they're a good side. They don't get this far for nothing. They're in group stage football like us, so they've worked their way here. They deserve to be here. And they're going to be good opposition. We've obviously watched them, analysed them, and they are a very good side. Yeah, they've a lot of players that have a good career in England and the UK, so they have loads of experience. And as you said, they definitely deserve to be here. You don't get here by fluke.
There's a 5:45 start in Tala. Elsewhere in the Conference League tonight, Chelsea entertain Armenian runners-up FC Noah. Larne host Swiss side St Gallen, and Hearts are at home to Heidenheim.
Did you think you'd be hearing a holiday ad this early? We know, it's early. But planning ahead is essential before heading into one of the busiest seasons of the year. Beat the rush with Minted, a curated marketplace of unique Christmas and holiday cards, gifts, and seasonal decor from artists around the world. Bring your traditions to life with independent art and design this holiday season. Use code PODCAST for 20% off Minted holiday cards and gifts.
In the Europa League this evening, Manchester United will be at home to PAOK. United drew each of their three previous games in the competition under Erik ten Hag, with Ruud van Nistelrooy in charge for tonight. He told MUTV's confident of United securing a first win in this season's competition.
Everyone knows that, but it's no difference in every game Manchester United plays. You're expected to win it, so there's no difference there. But for us, it's a matter of performances and built on performances that the lads put on over the last two games, with that spirit, with that togetherness, and that's the foundation. Also, as I said, after the Chelsea game, and then the qualities of the players will start to flourish.
Ange Postecoglou has taken a depleted Tottenham squad to Istanbul for their game with Galatasaray. The Spurs manager says Richarlison may be the longest term of tonight's absentees.
Yeah, so from the weekend, obviously Richie, unfortunately, injured his hamstring, so still getting final information, but I think he'll be out for a while. Romero, I think nothing too serious, hopefully still a chance for the weekend. Timo Werner's been sort of carrying a bit of a groin complaint, which still there, so he didn't travel, and Mikey Moore picked up a bit of a virus yesterday, so we've left him at home as well. I think everyone else who's fit and eligible is here.
And in light of political events in the US over the past 48 hours, Postecoglou was asked how football can lift the gloom for its supporters.
Mate, I could give you a cracking non-football answer, but I'm not going to. look, it's just where we are as a society at the moment. I think, as you say, I think sports always provide a little bit of a constant in terms of, you know, escapism for people, whether that's in the broader context of, you know, global political landscapes or just, you know, people's lives in general. You know, everyone's got, as I keep saying, we've all got things in our lives that sometimes aren't in a greater shape. So, you know, I think sport and football in particular, because it is kind of the global sport, does. It provides some escapism, hopefully some joy and you know, some just genuine, collective tribalism in a positive way, you know, where you feel part of something, connected to something, you know, on a weekly basis, which is your team, and, you know, you share that with other people. So, I mean, I'm not, You know, I've always felt that, you know, sport and, like I said, football in general, for me anyway, has always been a great way or a great avenue for people to kind of enjoy something, like I said, in a community aspect, and hopefully that continues. No chance.
Elsewhere, Rangers will look to continue their generally bright start to the Europa League. They are away to Olympiacos from 5:45. Kieran Kilduff, as expected, was confirmed yesterday as the new manager of Dundalk. The women's Premier Division winning manager with Athlone has swiftly succeeded John Daly at the troubled County Louth club. The former Dundalk striker will take over the club in the First Division, but he told Nathan he'd no qualms about taking on the job.
A lot of those issues are things from the past. Like, I'm not going to be tired. When I rang and I speak to the players, they're all reassured. They've got the reassurances from the club. No one said, oh yeah. Like, I haven't had any person, player or otherwise, tell me, oh, stay away, run for the hills. It hasn't been that situation. I know it's been portrayed at times, like, oh, well, this is a big, huge issue. And I'm not saying it was easy for the players. Like, the word I'm probably using is trauma. I think there's trauma involved in where the club, from fans and the players, from last season. I mean, when you look at a season where you've got relegated, they nearly shut the doors, and you've won one of your last 15 games. I was expecting, when I was speaking to people and players around this, and people, not just John Temple, I'm talking people who I know 10 years, people in the FEI, people telling me, no, do you know what? They'll be alright, they'll survive this, and they'll find a way back in years to come, like other teams have, and like they themselves have in the past. And that's probably given me the fortitude to go, and I'll have a go at this, because listen, there's obviously an element of hope in it, but I'm going to be, I've spoke to a lot of the players, I have to speak to more today, I've been announced an hour ago, I have a lot of work to do, but I'm not going to lie to them, they're going to be aware. And to be fair, I think that's what universally has come back to me from the players, is that, well, the club have been open and honest since 2 months ago. Like, there was a really worrying time. It's probably less scary now than it was 2 months ago, when there was a 5 o'clock deadline and they thought they were going to shut the doors. This seems like players are going to feel, have been reassured and are getting their money and getting paid. And let's be honest, we're going to have a smaller budget, less. Everything's been pulled back, it's been streamlined back.
So what does that mean in terms of full-time football, part-time football? There have been reports of you're going to move training to the evening. Does that mean it'll be a part-time setup next year?
Yeah, no, look, it's not that it's a part-time setup. It's we might look at training in the evenings, because that might allow me and the club to build a better team and get players' availability. You might have students, for example, who can't give full-time commitment right now. When I was here in 2015, 16 and 17, and we won two leagues and qualified for Europa League group stages, we trained in the evenings. We trained the Monday evening, Tuesday evening, Thursday, played on the Friday, recovered Saturday morning. We never considered ourselves not full-time. We considered ourselves, we're full-time, but we train the evenings. I know it's not ideal, and
Could that create some issues when you're having those conversations? Then players have full-time contracts where they want more than just training in the evenings.
And that's probably one of the biggest issues for me as the manager. That's a me problem. That's me going, well, listen, this is the way we have to do it. We're not in the Premier Division now. We're not in a situation to pay, you know, compete with wages that maybe the top clubs, Shamrock Rovers, and them are able to pay right now. We have just been relegated to the First Division. There's going to be changes. There has to be changes. Otherwise, we'd be still in the Premier Division and motoring on challenging for Europe. They're not. This has to change. The model had to change. And probably one of the, I don't know if it's a weird way of thinking about it, but it nearly feels like a brand reset for me, even coming in. Like, I'm not going to be held accountable for I want to be judged on my role from now on, moving on. I've inherited, yes, a lot of uncertainty and doubt, but I want people who want to be here. And to be fair, I don't know if it's a Dundalk thing, but John said it himself there in it, and Peter has mentioned, there's an acceptance sometimes and there's an understanding. Kind of, I got that with the players, the ones I've spoke to. It was like, yeah, no, we're aware that this might have to happen. Sure, how could it not? We nearly closed the doors 2 months ago. So there's probably an honesty coming around as well, that, as people say, it's too honest, but I think it's almost refreshing, and I think the players are responding well from the conversations I've had.
One of his predecessors at Oriel Park, however, Vinnie Perth, still has reservations about the situation at the club as it regards Kilduff.
I suppose, look, on paper, Ciarán, you know, he's obviously had a great season. His sort of introduction to football, he's been working away at the senior league level as well and done really well there. So he's been building gradually. It just feels like they've appointed a manager a little bit too early, Dundalk. And people go, that makes no sense, because this is the time you've got to do your work. But doesn't believe they've got all the checks and balances in place yet. or certainly, I'm not sure a lot of players, unless you were sort of desperate, would be willing to put your signature on a form with Dundalk at the moment until you knew exactly what the future was. So it feels like the club have made an appointment a couple of weeks too early until they're able to make proper statements. Maybe in the background they're able to give Kieran assurances that they have this amount of money and that amount of money. But I don't see why they would hide that from the public or the supporters. And it also feels like Kieran has probably taken the job too early until he got all of those proper assurances and he got stuff and being able to put a squad together, because his reputation is on the line. Now, what you do when you want to take your first job in League of Ireland is you jump in and you're eager, so it feels like it's a little bit early. That's just my sense. Hopefully it works out. Bill Duff, as you said, I worked with him. He's had a great career between Rovers, UCD, Dundalk, obviously. I mean, everyone should use that. If you want to photograph a Kieran Duff, it should be the iconic photograph from his goal over in AZ Alkmaar. You know, Irish, that was making history for Irish football, earning points in a group stage European football. So Kilduff is a great guy. He's done really well. He's learned his ropes, but it feels, I'm a little bit nervous for him at the moment. It doesn't feel like the club is ready to appoint a manager and start signing players until he gets stuff sorted.
You can hear much more from Vinnie Perth and Gareth McGlynn by tuning into Off the Ball's LOI pod wherever you happen to consume your podcasts. Brentford manager finally Thomas Frank has been boosted by club record signing Igor Tiago, moving closer to a full return to fitness. The striker suffered a serious knee injury in pre-season, less than a month after arriving from Club Brugge, but the Brazilian is back in training on grass and Brentford hope he'll be available to play for them after the international break. That's it for today's Football Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Football feed to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge Monday to Friday. My name is Richie McCormack. I'll be back with more Football Daily for you tomorrow. Till then, thanks for listening.